Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I really believe, confirming what Trudy was saying, I really believe there's anointing here this morning. Amazing anointing to destroy burdens, restore yokes and remove burdens, for chains to be broken. I really believe, as we prayed in the prayer room, for the work of the strong man to be bound. You know, the scripture says, how can you enter a man's house unless you bind the strong man first? You know, you and I are fighting against strong men, powers and principalities, rulers of the air. We don't realize that sometimes we think it's a fleshly realm. Sometimes even we think it's people that are warring against us. We're not warring against flesh and blood, the Bible says, but about against powers, principalities, rulers of the air. They're out to get your salvation. They're out to get your health. They're out to get your peace. But you know, you're in God's house right now. And you, men and women, are men and women of God. Men and women of fire. Men and women of the Holy Spirit. Men and women that are not just earthly vessels, but earthly vessels that contain the very authority of God. You know, in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, all authority is given unto you. How much authority? All. The word authority in there is the Greek word exousia, which means jurisdiction. All jurisdiction is given unto you. And you hold that within you. You realize what power you hold within you? Jesus spoke again in Acts chapter 1 and he says, wait in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit will what? Come upon you. That Holy Spirit power, the ability, the efficiency, the might, the Amplified says, of the Holy Spirit of God himself. He just doesn't come along and give you a little tap on the shoulder. Doesn't come along and just, you know, just a little anointing on your head. He just doesn't come along and shake your hand and say, good work, Barry. But the very Spirit of God abides inside of you as a born-again, water-baptized, baptized in the Holy Spirit believer. You are not a mere mortal anymore. You are a supernatural being saved by grace, by the power of God himself. And you know what? We're not living it. We're not living with that authority. We're not living with that power. We're not living with that jurisdiction. We are bound up by thoughts, by wrong teaching, by doubt and unbelief. We're bound up by fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear, friends, but he gave us a spirit of love and power and a sound, calm, well-balanced mind. You have the mind of Christ. You have the jurisdiction, the authority and the power of heaven. Where is it? Is it in your Bible? Is it in your back pocket? Is it on your iPad or your iPhone? It's within you. Time to let it out. Time to have a few leaks in your life. Leaking out the glory. Leaking out the power. Letting that authority, that jurisdiction be seen by this world. I started off this series 3 weeks ago. Talked about the glory. That the glory of God was meant to be the glory in us, right back in Genesis. But with that word glory goes honor. Doesn't say it goes glory and pride. Glory and honor go together. The glory and honor of God resides in you, not for your sake, but for the sake of others. We glorify God. We place him at the highest place. And in return, he brings that glory, that honor, that ability, that efficiency, that might into our lives so that we can look good, so that we can feel good, so that we can live a life that's good. And then Jesus comes back and he says, why didn't you do your job? But God, I was waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me. The Holy Spirit has already told you through his word. Go therefore, Jesus' words, it's in red in my Bible, into all the world, into your world, into my world, into our worlds. And we'll do what? Brag on your glory and your honor. Brag on the fact that you know stuff in Greek and Hebrew. Brag that you can quote 15 scriptures and it means nothing to anybody. I believe we're in a waking up stage for the church. Not just this church, but the church. I believe the Holy Spirit visits us more than we realize. Wakes us up. Gives us a word. Gives us a direction. Gives us a purpose. So that was week one of this message. And the next week was, where are you? Or more correctly, where are you at? Glory and honor, authority, power, jurisdiction of heaven is available. It's stored up within your earthly body. Spirit of God combined with your spirit. You become the mouth of Jesus. You become the hand of God. You become the feet of the good news of the gospel of peace. You are God on earth by the authority he puts in. You're not God. You're God's representative. The Bible says we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. I've been authorized by heaven in Jesus' name to preach good news, to lay hands on the sick and to see them recover, to see the lame walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, the dead to rise up. What a mess we can make of our world, your world, my world, if we let some of that authority out. The glory and honor. And where are you? This morning I want to just take that a little bit further. You can open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. Make no apologies this morning for what I'm about to share. The title of my message this morning is Called Out and Into Your Destiny. Called Out and Into Your Destiny. See, I love the thing about God. He just didn't take me out of darkness and dump me. He just didn't take me out and leave me alone. He didn't take me out of darkness, my old way of life, and say, now find your own way. God made available to me, like he made available to you, his word. The promises of God. The abilities of God. The way of God. The destiny of God. The future of God. And he placed it within me, and his Holy Spirit to give me that strength, that direction, that purpose to do what he's called me to do. He didn't say, well done, good and faithful servant, now you can have a rest. He said, now the fun begins. Now the work begins. Now the pressure's on. Not so much that we can't handle the pressure, because his Bible, the word says that he'll never give us more than we can handle. It's just like an infant growing up into a young man or woman, into a teenager, into an adult. He matures us and he grows us in his ways. I am a child of God, yes. 60-something years of age, yes. But I'm still a child in his mind, but I'm a child who's growing and maturing and hungry to know more. I love it when our grandkids want to learn new things. They're just like their mother. Dad, can you show us how to use a chainsaw? You're 6 years of age. You want to use a chainsaw? Yeah. 7 years of age. Dad, can you teach me how to use a chainsaw? You really want to know? Yeah. 8 years of age. You want to use a chainsaw? Come with me. Start it up. Hang on to that. Hang on to that. Now I'm hanging on with you. Boom! I've learnt now, Dad. Thank you. But just as we teach our natural children how to grow and mature and take on more things, Holy Spirit of God wants to take us into new and better things. He called us out of, but he called us into a destiny. So I want to share a little bit of that this morning. I know I'm not going to get through the whole message. I want to read here in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through to 6. Ephesians 4. 1 through to 6. Reading from the New King James Version, just to help you, just so it's not too long-winded. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. People say to me, well, I haven't got a calling. I don't know what my future is. I don't know what God wants to do. Have you ever asked Him? You ever spent time alone with God and said, God, what am I meant to be doing? I'm uneducated. I don't speak well. I'm not very handy with my hands. I haven't got much money. I live alone. I've got no friends around me. Read it again in here. How many individuals did God call out and call into something great? Might not all be leaders of thousands. You might be a leader of two. You're still leading them somewhere. Paul writes to the church. It's not his prayer. This is a letter to the church. Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. You know that? He's in you right now. Now, how many had communion this morning? How many of you ate your bread? How many of you drank from the cup? How many of you feel like you did that? You feel like the bread's inside you now? Does your tummy say, oh, that was too much? Oh, that cracker was a bit sharp. That grape juice was a bit cold. You don't actually realize that that's in you now, do you? Does anyone actually feel like that bread and that grape juice is in them now? You don't, do you? Quite honestly. In that very same way, God is in us and we don't even know it sometimes. We're supernatural beings, but we're living such a natural life. God wants to flip that around so your supernatural is your natural way. Amen? And Paul got a gist of that, and that's why he wrote so many letters to the church. There is a calling. There is a destiny on every believer here today. You may be trying to discover what it is. You may be searching. You might be asking. Maybe you just need clarity this morning. Maybe you're just not quite sure. The truth of this morning is that God is not trying to hide what He wants for you and what He's promised you. But His promise is that He will show us via the Holy Spirit of things to come. Amen? Just this morning, to just highlight a few of the issues that I believe the Lord wants to highlight here today in this passage. Firstly, I want to say this. There is no such thing as an individual Christian destiny. No such thing as an individual Christian destiny. Every born-again believer is part of a whole. That is the body of Christ. You're a part of that. You're not separated. You're not a finger gone missing. You've got not a toenail cut off. You are all part of the body of Christ. Every gift, every calling, every ministry fulfilled through individuals has a direct effect on the body, and the body of Christ has a direct effect in those callings. He opens up the passage and says, walk worthy of the calling. And he then goes on to immediately explain what that is. Verses 2 and 3. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring, I love that word, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, the call of God has both a personal holiness and a corporate holiness all at the same time. I can't be holy and work with that which is holy if I'm unholy. So if there's an area in my life that, say pride for example, I can't bring that into a holy place and expect God to use me in that place. If there's a spirit of fear and doubt and unbelief on my life, I bring that into a place of holiness. Holiness overrides that and rejects that part of me. I'm still part of the body, but it needs to be dealt with. Just like when you cut your finger, the message from your brain to your finger is ouch. The brain didn't suffer the injury, the finger suffered it, but the brain got the message that something had happened to that finger. So you can't have an individual calling that is not part of the body of Christ. Amen? And verse 4 here in our passage highlights that even more, that we have been joined together. Not that we will be joined together, but we have been joined together. Verses 4 to 6 says, there is one body, how many? One spirit, how many? Capital S. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all. And I like this last part. And in you all. Remember, this is addressed to the church, part of the body of Christ. God doesn't separate you from a member of the body. You might be out of sorts with God. You might be, pushing his message to you away. But he says you're still part of the body. We are one in him. We are one in him. You may feel disjointed, disconnected right at this moment as I'm preaching this message. Don't deny the power of the Word of God. If God says it, that settles it. Amen? You believe that? You believe that in your heart? If God says it, that settles it? End of argument? All right. Let's go on to verse 7 then. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us. Are you part of the body this morning? So within that context, you have been given as part of the body, as each one of us, that's all of us, was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The word grace there is the Greek word charis, charis, which means the unmerited favour, the unstoppable supply, the empowerment, and the sufficiency of God. I want you to think about that in context. Quite often we say the word grace just means unmerited favour. That's part of it. The unmerited favour, the unstoppable supply, the empowerment, and the sufficiency of God himself. Now let's read that again in context of what I just said. Body of Christ, can I speak to you this morning? But to each one of you, unmerited favour, endless supply, empowerment, and sufficiency of God was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Wasn't given to the world. Wasn't given to religious leaders. It was given to the body of Christ. There's a huge difference in all that. Then it says, according to the measure. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure. Literally means to this degree. to this degree, because the next line says, of Christ's gift. In other words, what the Anointed One and His anointing has given to us. What we are, who we are, where we are individually, was given to us, given to you, by God's grace. We're not self-made. We do not decide our own destiny. You and I, as believers, are given a gift. And that gift to us cost Jesus everything. I couldn't have been that costly. Yes, I was. You certainly wouldn't have been that costly, or you goody two-shoes. Yes, you were. That gift of grace that God imparted into His body, the body of Christ, you, me, us, cost Him everything. The measure then of our gift of life, our calling, and our destiny was paid for with His blood, with His stripes, with the poverty, with the lack, with the death, and with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God's original intent for you, who He called you to be, who He designed you to be, who He created you to be, was stolen from you. Jesus went to the maximum length He could go when He went to hell to get that which was stolen from you back to you. Remember that old hymn, "To God be the glory, great things He has done." To God be the glory. Well, it wasn't for His glory's sake. It was for our sake. Yes, God gets the glory for what He's done. Yes, that glory and honor is put back into our lives. But everything that Jesus did was to glorify the Father, but also get you back into what was stolen from you. All that authority, all that power, all that jurisdiction, all that dominion. Amen? All right, let's read on in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death." You with me? "That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." I want you to think about what God has just said through Paul in this passage. This is fundamental to your faith, to my faith. It's part of what we must share with people to get people saved. We preach the life of Jesus, and we should. But we also, I believe, should preach the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Because a person is saved on the belief of Jesus' resurrection and the confession of Him as their Lord. Amen? God sent His Son to pay the price for your future, for your destiny. And it is by grace you are saved, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's come back to Ephesians 4. I want to park there for a little bit. This might sound a little bit heavy, but if you can perhaps even go over this message, go over the scriptures, and ask for revelation, you would get it. that you were called out of your old life with purpose. Part of it is what I just read out of Romans, so that you would walk in newness of life. Hallelujah, I don't want to go back to that old way of life. Anyone want to go back to their old way of life? Talk to me afterwards. So there's a newness in life. Called you out and called you into. Cancelled what you were going through and gave you a purpose for living. Where there was hopelessness, he gave you hope. Where there was no future, he's given you a future. Where there's no authority, he's now given you how much authority? All authority. And I think we take that gift that God's given us sometimes for granted. We don't realize what we hold within us. You know, speak to the mountain, cast it in the sea, see stuff? Really? You don't believe that stuff, do you? Yes, I do. I practice it regularly. Amen? But here in Ephesians, let's not hold up. Ephesians 4, reading from 7 through to 10. Again, out of the New King James Bible. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, what does he mean by he ascended? Can I say it this way? That he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fulfill everything and in all things. Verse 10 makes it clear that Jesus did not only descend for us into hell, but he also ascended to take his place of authority. And in doing so, he raised us up with him. Don't you think that's glorious news? I do. That he didn't go just down to hell to release you from that sentence of death and then go up to be with Dad until he comes back again. He ascended and he's now seated us in him at the right hand of the Father. Verse 10 in our passage makes it so, so clear. He who descended, reading from the Amplified, is the very same as he who has ascended high above all the heavens, that he might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. All right, just come back now to Ephesians chapter 1. I can just imagine the church in Ephesus receiving this letter. You know, I had a letter addressed the other day. I picked it up from the post office box and said, Pastor Lou and Robin Saunders and the elders. Hello, the Apostle Paul's writing to us. Couldn't wait to get the letter open. It was from Alex, who preached here last week. Thank you so much for allowing me to share the good news of the gospel in your church. Thank you for offering to give me a gift of finances for preaching, but I don't need your money. Put it back into your building fund. It's almost like a Paulian letter to Pastor Lou and Robin and the elders. It's a bit like this, to the church in Ephesus. I'm writing, and I can just imagine the elders in the church of Ephesus. I've got a letter from Paul. Got a letter. I hope it's not a correctional one. But it'll be encouraging, even if it's correctional. But let's read verses 19 to 23 here in Ephesians 1. And it says, what is the ascending greatness of his power towards us who believe? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? Two next words. Who believe? Well, I believe in Jesus. I go to church every Sunday. I even put money in the offering bag when it goes past. Sing the song. Shake the pastor's hand afterwards. But friends, are you a believer? Are you a true believer? Are you a believing believer today? Amen? And what is the exceeding, I love the way he puts the words together, exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Take a breath on that one. Exceeding greatness of his power, his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, when he raised him from the dead. Now this is the sort of power we're talking about. Dead people don't usually resurrect. Am I right? They don't sit dead for 3 days and then just turn up. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. In that little finger. In that hand. In that voice box. In those eyes. In those ears. On those feet. That same power that was in Christ is now in you. Exceeding greatness of his power, the mighty power, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. There's a sentence. How far above? Oh, only about this much. Like, the devil's still on my case. No. If you're believing that, you're not believing the truth. You're believing a lie. If you think far above is only just above, then you don't understand the power of God. Because if God could raise his son from the dead, and he was declared dead, and he was beaten, and he was nailed to a cross, and he had a spear thrust in his side, that takes some power to bring a person back. Amen? But God just doesn't leave it there. That's what I'm saying. He just doesn't call him out. Jesus come forth like he did for Lazarus. That same power that raised him from the dead ascended him into heaven, but he wasn't even satisfied with that. God said, I want my saints to be seated in heavenly places with me, far above all earthly realm, at my right hand, far above all principality, far above all power, far above all might, far above all dominion, and far above every name that is named, not just for this letter to the church in Ephesus, but also that which is to come. Whether it be terrorist attack, whether it be the rising cost of living, whether it be the same-sex marriage issue, whether it be, you know, vilification against churches, whatever it is, God has already taken care of it with the power that he exhibited by raising his son Jesus from the dead and now placing that authority, that power, that jurisdiction in us. Every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come in your tomorrow, friends. In your yucky Wednesday, friends. In that horrible Thursday, friends. Because not every day is diamonds. Amen? You notice that? I like this next line. And he put all things. How many things? Everything that's working against God is where? Under his feet. Friends, if you're seated in Christ Jesus today, then they're under your feet as well. Remind yourself that next time. Remind the devil next time. Remind the situation, the circumstances next time. Situation, you are under my feet. Stay there. Glad I wore my stomping boots this morning. And he put all things under his feet. If they're under his feet, they're under your feet, because you're in Christ Jesus. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Come back to Ephesians 2. Letter to the church. Letter to us. Verses 1 through to 10. And you he made... Pardon? You got it. You got the same Bible as me. And you, he, the anointed one and his anointing, made you what? Alive. Oh, you're alive. I did wonder there for a while. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. That's you and I he's talking about. Sentence was passed. Judgment was given. Eternal separation from God. You were guilty. I was guilty. We were guilty. Wages of sin? Death. Eternal separation from God. Done. Dusted. You're finished. There's your destiny. God had another plan. He made you alive. You who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. Not the people around you. Sometimes it was the choices you made. Sometimes it was the clever way the devil brought in stuff to get us off track and get us doing things we thought, that can't be too bad. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, amongst whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. That's making it pretty plain, isn't it? Who led a good life? Were you a nice person back then? Were you a good person? To some degree, we all were. But according to God's word, we were sinners. Amen? Conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, oh, they are my two favorite words. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together. Sorry if you hate me, but we are sitting together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't war with me if you're in Christ, because if you're in Christ and I'm in Christ, we can't war together. Perhaps God had a plan, because brothers and sisters do fight sometimes, don't they? Anyone got a brother or sister that you love unconditionally, that you just get on with all the time? Don't lie to me. You think it's part of God's plan for his children? He didn't send me to the far north. And Christopher, I say this is the right thing. And send Christopher to the far south. He placed us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that we could behave like brothers in Christ. Amen? And that fits for all of you, by the way. You're stuck with me. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. So he's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. In his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So our context this morning: but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, Ephesians 4:7. Verse 8 says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, the grace gift of God is according to the power of the resurrection and then the ascension of Jesus, when not only he ascended, but also raised us up to a place where he can assign his divine power gifts to us. Ephesians 4:10-12 says, he who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He himself gave some, got this? Some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I want to close with this thought, and I'm going to pick up on it next week, that not everyone is called to the fivefold ministry, and the reason for that is simple. That the fivefold ministry is a calling to the church. Their primary ministry is to equip the body of Christ. On that line alone, if everyone were a fivefold ministry, every one of us would be called to the church, and no one would minister to the world. There's a food for thought for this week. If every one of you were called to that fivefold ministry, any one of those, any mix of those, then we'd all be in here encouraging ourselves, and none of us would be going out, because there would be no saints to equip to do the work of ministry. Next week after, because Nick's here next week, the week after, we're going to verify that we've been called out, and we're going to clarify what we've been called into. Each one of us has a destiny. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would be a pastor-teacher mix. Never, ever. God had a plan, and he's taken me out of, he's grown me into, and every day is a new day with growing into what he's calling me to do. It's the same with all of you. You've been called out of something. You've been called into something even better. And he's going to call you into something that gives glory to his name. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, shall we?